I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember Wojnarowski?
Here.
So do we have a motion to accept the agenda? I don't believe there are any changes to the agenda.
I make a motion to accept the consent agenda?
No.
Just the regular agenda.
That's my trip. No.
Right.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. There are no appointments or announcements. I would entertain a motion for the consent agenda.
I move that we adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. It's now time for public comments. Those persons wishing to speak to City Council, please come up to the microphone and state your name and city, and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Those persons wishing to speak, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Olivia Cronin. My husband Shane Cronin should be out here pretty soon. He's finishing up a class, but we run Cronin Athletics down the road, and we had met with Tammy, and I guess my comments are based on the field over here. We started to use it this last spring for some of our classes, and it's just such a nice space to be able to take kids to use such an open area where it's really hard to find that in the area, especially a place that feels safe when you have a class of about 20, 25 kids, making sure it's a safe environment for them. And so when we heard that there was going to be a fence going in, we were like, oh, if there could be a little bit, if it could be pushed back maybe a little bit, it would create just some space to not get taken away. My husband, Shane, I know he wanted to speak. His class is wrapping up. He should be here in a few minutes. But we run Diamond Kings Baseball out of Cronin Athletics, which services, last season we had 6 teams. It services 75-plus kids. And our facility is kind of small in the sense that we can't practice fly balls or they can't really work on. Shane's the baseball guy, so excuse me. I'm probably not saying it right, but just things that they could work on that the open space provides for them. And so I guess our ask is that if a fence does go in, that it be pushed back in it with enough space that we could still practice those drills and do those type of activities. So,
and so focused. Did he measure?
He did.
Because I showed him where the fence is going.
Yes.
So do you know how much room he still needed or what the...
When he'll probably have those numbers for you. He did go out there with the measuring rolling thing and measured. And he... I'll let him speak to that because I don't know exactly. But I know that it wasn't a big difference, just a slight difference in where I think the fence is intended to go, to where... If it was placed back a little bit, it gives a certain amount of room for 90-foot bases or something like that, right. Something baseball related. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, we will close this public comment session. We have a public hearing tonight on the proposed draft of the capital improvement plan. Ms. Miller.
Council and Mayor, it's a pleasure to be here tonight to bring you our proposed capital improvement plan for 2019 to 2024. This is a 6-year plan that covers all the capital, pretty much expenditures of the city for the next 6 years. Tonight is only public hearing to receive public comment. But we started this way back in the spring. We've been working for a long time on it. We've had two long work studies. We've got a lot of nice input from council. As a result of that, we added a sidewalk project. into that were requested into the plan from what we first proposed. So that's it's really good to have comments and have people work on it. That's the Baker Street sidewalk that we added. It's been published, advertised for a couple of weeks. It's been online so people could view it and make comments. This really includes all kinds of things like water pipes and parks and trails and city facilities and police and fire facilities and equipment and all the capital needs for water and sewer and stormwater and streets. So it's very comprehensive. Totals $39 million approximately. $28 million of that is public works related for the streets, water, sewer, and storm. So the biggest part of it and the biggest expenditure for most cities is your street area. It also shows in every single project we propose when the project will be worked on, where the funding is coming from to do that project. So it's a very comprehensive plan. Most state and federal grants require that you have an adopted capital improvement plan. When you turn in your application, they say, can I get a copy of your adopted plan? What page is that on? So that they know that's something the council's reviewed, planned in the city and planned for and really expect to have. This is not a budget, it's just a plan. So sometimes projects are done sooner, sometimes later, but it tries to balance it within this realm. And then when we get into the actual budget, we just take next year's and review them again to make sure they're all relevant. And then they're adopted separately in a budget. Tonight, as I said, it's just a public hearing. We're here to get public comments. We are going to bring it back in 2 weeks for adoption. I'm just here to answer questions or take comments. Thank you.
Does anybody have any comments? Does anybody want to make public comments for the public hearing? Does anybody have any comments for the public hearing? Seeing no one, I will close this public hearing. The next item on the agenda is new business, the resolution accepting a proposal from Wilbert Precast for two cemetery niches. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. This is a project that we have on our capital improvement plan, which this has been budgeted for. We have $25,000 in the budget. We got the bids through the limited public works project process. This was reviewed by our legal, and we also went to the took this for review at the Park Cemetery Committee meeting of council. They're recommending that we bring this to you for approval. A little background: the current wall that we have at the cemetery has been all sold out. There's most of it is filled, but if you were wanting to buy a niche for cremated remains for a family member, you wouldn't be able to buy one. We do allow cremated remains on top of a casketed plot. But if you prefer to have it in remains in a designated surface location or on like a wall, that currently is not available. So with that, hopefully you could approve this. We'll get it built.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Yes, just Seth, can you tell me how many more spaces is going to allow? I was reading this over. It shows where. Oops.
224 units.
So 48 units then.
Yes.
Yeah, it says 2.
Yeah.
24
units. Doubles our capacity.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what's out there right now is 224.
Mirror. Okay.
Yeah, there's. No, four tall, six white.
Yeah. Four tall, six white. Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Edelman.
And basically what we're going to be doing, and we discussed this in the Parks and Cemetery Committee meeting that we had, is that these next two will more or less mirror what's currently there.
Okay.
They'll just be off on one side of the current ones. And, you know, there's a need for this, obviously, and I support this wholeheartedly.
Councilmember Deedy.
So just like Councilmember Edelman said, there is a need. Currently, I believe the cemetery plots are sold out, except for maybe two got returned just recently, got sold back to the city. But other than that, we haven't had space in our cemetery for people to be laid to rest. So, and I know that this has been talked about in the public, is it the Parks
and
Committee,
Cemetery.
And then in the other
cemetery board.
Cemetery board,
or,
that's the one. For quite a while.
Yeah, advisory.
So, so I'm fully supportive. I think that is, it's a great addition to our cemetery, and I think it's looking good down there. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have one question.
So I make a, oh, go ahead.
Councilmember Stout.
I see that we had $25,000 budgeted, and the price of this is a little less than $20,000. So we're well within the budget. Will we need that additional money for our staff to prepare the area? I see that we need to have the staff, Public Works, do some. Will that be an additional cost to the city, or just time of our staff?
It'll be a little time. I think we do need to do a little surface prep work for them.
Yeah, that's what I was
measuring things out and identifying the locations, but not much.
So we're still
fine with the budget.
Well within the budget.
Yes.
Okay, that was my only question. Thank you.
Well, with that, I'd move to adopt resolution number 18-1258, accepting the proposal from Wilbert Precast Incorporated to fabricate and install two 24-unit columbarium walls at the cemetery.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. It's now time for department reports. Chief Smith.
Little update, month of July. I think I gave a report about the 4th of July. We had 12 incidents that we really no peak for 4th of July for us. I think we spoke again today about fireworks. So.
Right.
Month of July, they were in the city of Black Diamond, there were 66 incidents. 68% of those are EMS. So no fire loss in the city. That works out to be like 2.1 incidents a day, which doesn't seem like a whole bunch, you know, but we needed an 8-car, and one shows up. That's that's important to the people that have those calls. Mm-hmm. So, you know, overall, we're at about 6.5 incidents a day in the whole district, so two for, you know, but as the population goes up, so do your incidents, mm-hmm. especially the types buildings, that makes incidents go up. Senior housing makes incidents go up. Assisted living facilities makes calls really go up.
Yeah.
So remember those things, you know, when you start planning at the same time in your city. Mm-hmm. We had one of our lieutenants retire. Went on an early retirement, a shoulder injury, so tested for lieutenants and captains about 4 months ago, so we had a list ready to go, so that was easy. We promoted a new lieutenant just the other day, and we will pin him at our board meeting on the 14th. And so, it's a kind of succession thing, so as the lieutenant left and promote a firefighter lieutenant. Now we need to hire a firefighter. So because this kind of happened real quickly, we did what we call an emergency hire. And when we do an emergency hire, we use public safety testing. And then we look for our volunteers that have taken tests. And those are the people that we look at. Because typically, when we hire a new firefighter, first thing they have to do is they go to an academy. Academy is like 9 to 10 weeks long. Then they come back and do a bunch of more training with us. And then they go into an engine company, right third or fourth in the engine company. And then about a year later, they're actually out there deployed with the regular crew. So when we utilize one of our volunteers, they know where all of our fire stations are, and they know the areas. So that time to get that person on their first line is much compressed. So that's what we did this time. We use of what we call our emergency fire process. So we interviewed today, and we will tomorrow we'll give a conditional job offer to one of those three people. So we're going to be conditional on them passing their physical. They already passed the physical agility test. We actually have one of the hardest physical agility tests out of King County. We have about 24% pass rate.
Wow.
That's pretty tough. Let's see, our Station 92, where we just remodeled Fire Station 92, and $500,000. Especially when I saw they bought a building in Israel for a new United States building, and they spent $400,000 remodeling it. Cost us more to remodel a fire station than
we
did.
Wow.
Yeah, of course, they probably don't have to pay their pay rates.
Significantly different.
Let's see. Oh, the next Tuesday is National Night Out. So we'll have a rig out and about doing that with a couple of our elected officials in it. We'll also be coming through, and Engine 98 will be coming through town. We'll be speaking with I'm not sure if Tim's got a hold of I think one of your police officers is doing that, so we're trying to at least have those two people talk together. So last year we tried to do it, and in the district we had somebody throwing fire bombs at police officers.
Right. Yeah.
So kind of, we said, well, we're not going to run around tonight. We're probably going to be addressing this. So hopefully that won't happen.
You also have two rescues, I think, on the river that day.
Did we last year?
Yeah, you had a rescue.
Yeah, you think people would, not call 911.
I know that my neighbors that had little kids were really disappointed that they didn't get to climb all over the fire trucks.
So, but like I said, last year, right when we were getting ready to go out, we had that happen. It was a pretty big thing.
Right.
I guess it was afterwards when the water was depressed. We had those all the time. So, this time of year. Anyway, that's all I have. Unless somebody from the council has a question.
Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks. So it's time for the mayor's report. We have a new coalition. It's between Maple Valley, Covington, Black Diamond, and it's Southeast County Coalition to discuss what our growth projections are in transportation and talking about the roads because of the Issaquah-Hobart Road and Highway 18. And so this was our first meeting on the 20th, and it wasn't very well attended. We had a couple of people from each city, but the mayors and the city managers didn't show up. So we had somebody here to give a report, but it wasn't the intended outcome, I don't think. That was also the hometown social at 10 Trails, their second one, which was attended about the same as the first one. And On the 27th, there was a ribbon cutting at the new Lumber House Brewery, and it was really well attended by people from Maple Valley and Covington, and even Kate and her husband came from, and her parents came from, came to the ribbon cutting, so that was kind of nice. From 10 Trails, her parents were here from out of town, and so that was kind of nice. And then Tuesday, I attended Diego Moreno's memorial service in Kent, and it was really hard to think about being a mother or a wife getting up and speaking to the crowd. And the mayor of Kent, Dana Ralph, had a officer appreciation party the day that he got hit, and he left his wife and family there and kissed them goodbye for the last time, so it was pretty sad. So, but it was very inspirational. He was very well loved. He was a really good officer, and the people that organize these, that's all they do, is organize funerals and memorial services for officers in the line of duty. And it was the same people that organized Commander Gorrell's funeral here, but when an officer dies in the line of duty, it's like quite a few hours longer. It lasted most of the day and was very, just, they just choreograph it. It's just so perfect. It's like nobody makes a mistake. They just practice it, and everybody knows what their job is, and it was a really, really good service. And so I just wanted to bring up that next Thursday, we don't have an agenda. And so I didn't know if you had any suggestions. We've already scheduled the fire ad hoc discussion for our work study on September 13th, but we don't have anything for the agenda next Thursday. So I don't know if you want to, if you have anything for the work study.
Well, if the staff doesn't have anything that they want to discuss, why don't we cancel it? Because we've got all sorts of budget work studies coming up,
right,
too. So it would, yeah, give us a bit of a reprieve before we get hot and heavy into budgets. And it is summertime. It would be nice to eliminate a meeting.
So do you have consensus on that?
Yeah, I'm
okay with that.
Okay.
Good. Okay.
Do we need to vote or...
No, if there's consensus.
As long as there's consensus, you're,
yeah,
okay.
So, council member, let's see, who are we going to go first today? Oglesby.
Well, thank you. So let's see, not much going on this last couple weeks, but I did attend the work study on the 26th where we went over the capital improvement plan. Attended the safety committee meeting today. In the future, we do have 4 weeks left for the Black Diamond Labor Days event, which is a citywide sponsored, and it's one of the biggest events here in town. So if you are wanting to volunteer just for a couple hours during the event for Labor Days, I suggest it. It's great fun, and I'm just going to keep on preaching it because we need volunteers. So that's all I have.
Councilmember Edelman?
I can probably help you out.
I would love,
seriously,
that.
Yeah. I also, on the 20th, went up to the Hometown Social, and Lennar Homes had their 3 model homes open, and they're really quite nice. On the 21st, my husband and I were in the Covington Parade, so that was kind of fun to be in somebody else's parade for a change. On the 26th, we had the Park and Cemetery meeting, and we discussed the action that we took tonight. On the 27th, I also went to the ribbon cutting at Lumber House. I don't drink beer, but it's really a cute little place. Mm-hmm. And I just saw, I think on Facebook, that they're bringing a food truck in tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so there will be food available. And I guess they do wine, too. So we're going to have to go check out the wine selection.
And hard cider.
And hard cider's coming. Last evening, Sound Cities Association put on a forum on cybersecurity. And I know that we had an issue a year or so ago. Kent got slammed. The town of Yarrow Point got slammed. And there's I actually gave the mayor, Kent has gotten very proactive. Of course, they're a big city and they have lots of money and they produce really beautiful little things. But the idea is to make staff aware that just because you get an email, that doesn't mean it's a real email. And so the city of Kent, actually, their IT guys send out periodically their own version of a spam and get people to click on it. And it was amazing. The first time they did it, all sorts of people clicked, and then they got misdirected to some crazy YouTube video. So they knew that they'd been had. So they've gone from, you know, a couple hundred people at first, or whatever the number was, down to 28. So those people probably need a good talking to if they're still clicking on these things. I just had a really squirrely email yesterday that was an invoice from somebody, and it's like, it's spam. Yeah, so you just don't open those things. So I think we just all, staff as well as the council, need to be aware that this stuff is out there. And even for your home computers, you click on one of those things and your computer can be toast. So, and then today I had the opportunity to help move a whole bunch of food from the Grace Church up the street here to St. Barbara's. St. Barbara's has graciously allowed this group of people to come in and do the Wednesday evening meals. And it's a faith-based organization. Every night of the week, there is a hot meal for seniors somewhere within the greater Maple Valley, Enumclaw, Black Diamond, Covington area, and it's all done at churches. And so now St. Barbara's has opened their doors and really has made it very nice, but I can't tell you, I've got 6 racks of canned goods that I myself had to load and organize and all this stuff. It was a lot of fun. It's going to be a really great thing to do, and I know there's a lot of our citizens locally that go up to that, so I'm going to start serving on that on Wednesday nights too. Nice. And next week, because it's August, there's no public issues committee meeting, so I'll have no report.
Councilmember Stout.
Thank you. I attended the Capital Improvement Plan Work Study. I guess I'm out of order. I went to the Hometown Social. That was fun. We all got our little posters of how cute we were at the thing. Our friendly photographer was running around taking pictures of everybody. Thank you. I think they're well attended and pretty yeah. enjoyable. And just getting out there, seeing the park open, and we're going to have to figure out how to play bocce ball because we have no idea what that is about. But beautiful. They said next time.
YouTube
bocce ball? Okay. We'll do it. I think they said that next time they're going to put the band up on the.
The stage is supposed to be completed by then, yeah.
I don't think they were saying they're going to put it on the stage. They were talking about putting it up on the viewing platform.
Oh,
up on the viewing.
But I'm not sure. I was just talking to Joelle, but that would be fun. But we'll see how it works out for the next one. And I attended a budget and finance committee meeting where we went over the vouchers and the expenditures for the city for the past little while, and covered quite a bit of territory there. And that's all.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
So I also attended the Hometown Social, had a great time, took the wife and kids had a blast. Then we also attended, the cemetery and parks meeting where we talked about the niches for the remains. We also had the capital improvement discussion. And then we also had we did a tour with Seth of our water system. It's pretty interesting to see, let you know kind of where your water comes from and how great of a resource that is and how much work these guys do to keep it running. So it's good to know, and it's, you know, gorgeous up there. So and it's interesting to see some of the technology that's used, even if it's very, very old, that it's not like that water pump. Water-powered pump was pretty cool. I also stopped by. I couldn't attend the ribbon cutting on the 27th, so I stopped by on the 26th before our our capital improvement plan meeting, and had a beer, signed up for their mug club, and introduced myself to the folks at the brewery, and they seem like great folks, and I hope they do well here. So I think that's it. I'm probably forgetting something. But.
Councilmember Deedy?
All right. So at the beginning, I just say when you start looking around, looking who's going to go first, I felt like I was in elementary school or junior high, and like you want to just shrivel away because you don't want to be the one called first. So I attended Hometown Social Community Yard Sale is coming up the second weekend of August, 11th and 12th. Thank you, Kevin, for getting the new poster, the new sign out there. Instead of all week long, it's just a weekend. We've got flyers going up around town. We're going to have places at the gym outside for people if they don't have room at their home, at their residence, or just don't feel comfortable having people come to their residence. We'll have a place up here. Let's see. The safety meeting, I attended finance meeting, and everything that we went over tonight talked about was in that meeting. The safety meeting today, we did discuss fireworks. So one of the things, Chief Kiplinger is going to go talk to several of the cities that currently have fireworks bans and find out, you know, how they're handling complaints, what the cost is within doing that, you know, because you've got to either hire more police officers, pay overtime. Then what do you do when you get there? The fire department doesn't want to take the fireworks. The police department don't want to take the fireworks. So another agency's got to come out. So that's a cost. Just, you know, what's everybody's fines? You know, how much does each city charge a person that has them? So there's a whole lot of things that we're looking into. So we'll bring that back. One of the things we had talked about was putting it out for the voters to vote on if they want to cancel it or keep it. So we're in the talks right now. We're letting Jamie do some figuring out, and we'll go from there. Let's see. So the other thing I brought up at the safety meeting was Mayor Benson, Councilmember Edelman, myself, Ron Taylor, we all went through a CERT class, a community emergency response team. Mm-hmm. So if there's a disaster in the city of Black Diamond, there's a group of people that are prepared to help. So Kevin, I'm hoping that Tim will get a hold of you. Okay, and I would love to help you figure out how to get monthly or bi-monthly or some sort of group together that has gone through the CERT, and hopefully get more people and get that going so that we have a strong CERT team here in town that can help you with disasters.
But we need to get Tim to come out, and I know Carol and I both have a couple of the classes that we missed, so we don't have our...
plug into those classes in the next series?
Yeah.
Anytime.
Well, he talked about even just doing it separately, but but I haven't heard anything for a while. So
maybe we can squeeze that in the same time we do first aid and CPR.
You never know. Yeah. That would help.
Yeah. So I'm happy to help you get that going. I know Brock, he's also gone through it, so he was offering it up earlier today to help as well. Let's see, the other thing I did, I didn't attend Officer Moreno's funeral, but I did watch, and it just, I won't go through it all, but just like Carol Benson stated, it was a very moving ceremony, and the speakers were amazing. It's a tough one to watch, but my condolences to the family. So with that, I think I'm done. Chief Smith, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about today's bomb episode and give a little update, or I can just go through it.
Oh, well,
you have to come up here. Explosives.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. It was much to do about nothing, really.
Somebody dropped off what everybody thought was some old dynamite at the Historical Society. So I took an old atom bomb hat around the house and dropped it off the other day. Yeah, so anyway, not a good thing to, you know, even handle old dynamite. So this, I get apparently this jar of old dynamite has been sitting on my desk for about 3 weeks. So anyway, we don't, I'll tell you what we do when there's explosives. We evacuate the area. Mm-hmm. We don't do explosives. That's our job. Our first job is to make sure that things don't get worse than they already are. So what you do in that case is you evacuate the area. I think we brought in some, the police actually have brought in somebody from the bomb squad from
Port of Seattle.
And so, yeah, I'm sure they probably have a lot of people trained there. So anyway, they brought the bottle, and they weren't sure really what was in there either. And since it was so old, which would make it very unstable, so they just took it a hole. Apparently, there was already a hole across the street, so they took this jar and did a controlled explosion there, and that was the end of it. So, but we probably need to let people know. In fact, I'm going to have Tim probably write a news article about it. Because it's not unusual for us to get calls about, so my husband died, and he's had this case of dynamite in the back shed for 30 years. And those type of things happen all the time. So, the older dynamite is, the more dangerous it gets. So, but don't, if you have any old dynamite, don't touch it. Don't bring it down to the Historical Society. Yeah, I think they want to display old dynamite.
Good work.
Anyway, that's...
Yes, so I did go down there and talk to the firemen from District 44 that were there.
Mountain View.
So the gentleman from the Seattle, Port of Seattle bomb unit came out, and he said that because the jar of, I think they called them, blasting caps that were in there was unstable to be moved. So normally he said they would just put them in the back of their van and transport them back to Seattle and take them to their place where they light all that off. But since these were not stable, he felt that any kind of movement in the van, any static electricity could have set them off. So
if that's what it was,
yeah.
Because that has picric acid in it, which is even more unstable. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I can see what that was. Not something you want to put in a car and drive.
No. So they did, at the end of the Eagles Hall, the south end, there is a hole there for that they're building something there. And so the bomb unit decided that that was the perfect place to put it. They cleared out a 300-foot radius for businesses and homeowners that had windows facing where the explosion was going to go. And, everybody took control. So thank you.
It's uncontrolled explosions
are
always more dangerous than controlled.
So nice. Thank you.
But it got the neighbors talking on Facebook, I'll tell you that. And also a shout out to Commander Colo Giovanni, because he was right on top of it, posting on Facebook and trying to lessen some of the fears as the big boom happened. So he did a good job.
So we don't have an attorney report today, so the next item on the agenda is the second public comment. So please come up to the podium and state your name and city, and limit your comments to 3 minutes.
Hi. So they were...
Name and city.
Shane Cronin, Black Diamond.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Corona Athletics is a business that run here at Black Diamond. So we were inquiring about the field right across the street, Black Diamond Gym. Supposedly there was a fence that was to be put in, and we were wondering how that we could coexist with where they can have the fence, but also in a way that we can still utilize the field to maximize that space for the group of kids I work with. So I run a sports facility that specializes in baseball, and it's a perfect location for a baseball field, unless the fence was to the west of the field, and defeats the purpose of not what you were intending to do, but what we would like to do, so that there's a way that we could have it work for all parties involved. Would be ideal. It would be used for baseball, but also for sports camps for kids. Just the idea of having a wide open field, which is very rare out here, so a way to maximize and utilize that would be priority. So.
And how many feet from the gym wall did you measure out that you would need?
About 180. I did a full size baseball field, which is 90 feet bases, with about 30, 40 feet behind it, and I was about 30 feet from the building. So, well, taking into consideration foul play and foul ball and that kind of stuff, where it'd be safe. And that's the biggest field possible, not counting the littlest bits, where little guys can play on much smaller surfaces.
So, just a little off of that, you also, so I know that there's more than just you going out there and playing baseball, but I know that there's a couple of families that run their own homeschool. And I think you do the same, and you use the field out there during the morning time and maybe afternoon, I'm not sure. But I've also seen other families out there. So it is a gem, and I think we forget, you know, as a city, we look at, you know, what our needs are as far as city goes for Seth. You know, that's an area that is going to be needed for storing all our equipment, especially as the city grows. So Seth is looking at, you know, what he needs to have control over, you know, what's on the other side of that fence. You know, what, you know, we also got another company that parks in there.
Oh, Asplund.
Asplund, yes. So I think that we, you know, I'll go in and talk to Seth and see, you know, what it entails, you know, exactly what you're talking about, and maybe we can look at, you know, trying to work something out or see what we can do. But ultimately, it's, I would say it's Seth's department on their needs, on what they need before a council could say, you know, we want you to push it back 200 feet or whatever. So, but I totally understand, and I would love to help see if we can't get it to happen, but I can't make promises. So,
Councilmember Edelman.
Well, what I for Seth, can we put this on the agenda for next Tuesday's Public Works meeting?
Yes, we could.
I think that would be a good idea. At least start that conversation too, and see what we can do.
Yeah. And you're welcome to go to any of those meetings. You're not invited, unless
they're
you're invited.
Public meetings.
But it's not somewhere you'd come and have a three-minute time to that conversation. So you're welcome to go to those meetings and hear.
You just have to sit there and listen to what we say.
So, yeah.
But I think we need to look into it for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Shane.
Is there anyone else wishing to address Council? Robin?
Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. Good evening, Council, Mayor. It was mentioned about cybersecurity, and I would like to point out that is not only just for email. It's concerning to me that our water sanitation system, chlorinating system, is online, and I am hoping that we have great cybersecurity and control over that, because it would be terrible if it got hacked into and the chlorine got released into higher levels into our drinking water. So that is something that I would hope that the city would look strongly at hardening against any hacking attacks. Also, the other thing I was thinking about was Councilmember Deedy's comment on a strong search team in town. I believe it's incumbent upon the citizens to be trained and ready, because we know that we're told in an emergency we need to have 3 days' worth of supplies, but reality it needs to be far greater than that.
Mm-hmm. 3 weeks. The FEMA's moved that to like 2 weeks now.
At least, yeah. Yes. Out here, we are probably going to be on our own for a long time. So I think to have our own trained rescue citizens who are here that are able to do that, to respond to emergencies or rescues or to aid the elderly or to transport or whatever it needs to be, mm-hmm. I wholeheartedly think that that's a good thing to pursue. And I hope to hear something about that, maybe in the mayor's newsletter that comes out, something to put out the call for people to become trained and who are interested in becoming part of this of teams that could be available at a moment's notice during a crisis. Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council?
Gary.
Gary Davis, Black Diamond. Thank you for the opportunity to address the council, Mayor. Okay, one is a quick question. The meeting that was referred to as being canceled, what was the date? What was the meeting originally?
The work study, that's next Thursday.
Okay, Thursday. Okay, that would be the 9th. Okay, the other thing, I noticed this because historically, we've had a lot of deer on the south side of our property, and sometimes the deer, they come out in the center part of the property, and you get over on the north side of the property along Boston Hill Road, Green River Gorge Road. And deer haven't been out like they have been previously over the years. It varies. Some years there'll be a lot, some there'll be very few. Rarely it's, you don't see anything at all. And this is one of the years where, at least from up my house on Box Drive, when I'm in the back, behind the house and looking down, not seeing the activity that I would expect to see. So whatever's going on up in the hills and whatnot, the city might want to keep track of it. Also, other comments that elk are showing up where they're not expected to be. Please keep track of the migration routes so that we don't get surprised at some time in the future that something's been disrupted to where the animals don't feel comfortable moving through where they want to. The last item is just a question, because I haven't heard it mentioned clearly lately. Did we ever finally get even one fire truck budgeted, or are they still pushing and squeezing to see where the money's going to come from for the new fire truck that they want?
It's in the capital improvement plan, and there's two fire trucks in the next couple of years.
That's what I thought it was. I mean, we've got money coming. It's just, I mean, I'd say this property, we don't have to find a new source of funding.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Kristen?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Kristen Bryant. I'm from Bellevue, and I grew up on Roberts Drive in Black Diamond. And I want to bring up an issue that has been an issue for a couple of I'll say a couple of months or longer now, at a council meeting in June, with no public notice and no council discussion, prior to the public comment meeting, public comment period at the meeting, you, the council, voted to add releasing the Oak Point letter of credit to the meeting agenda. Prior to the public comment period, you voted 5-0 and approved it with no discussion. I asked the public comment period that that item be put on the website, made available with the meeting materials, put into the minutes, something. It's not there. I haven't seen it. It's not available. But you voted on it without anyone knowing what it was or having the opportunity to see it. In July, at that meeting, you added a resolution at the beginning of the meeting to the agenda and voted to pass it that night. Again, it wasn't in the packet, and there was no opportunity for public to see it ahead of the meeting. In another instance, the city recently posted a notice of a comment period on a SEPA decision on the public notice page of the website. There was a number given for the permit, and there were limited permit materials on the website. Of significance, the notice didn't even include the complete SEPA checklist. In the past, when the city has posted those notices, they have included a direct link to the multi-page SEPA checklist. That wasn't there. You had to know how to go into the permit system to look for it. In the permit system, there were very limited materials. There were materials that I learned that staff did have electronically but hadn't posted to the permit system. You had to go in to the city during the day when most people are at work to see the information. The latest comprehensive plan materials are not yet posted on the website, but the public notice for the public hearing for this comprehensive plan that we've been waiting on since 2015 is not yet posted. I've been to the last couple of Planning Commission meetings. There have been materials brought to those meetings by staff that were not posted ahead of time in the agenda packets. And as far as I know, they're not online. If you look at the page that you link to with the notice on the website now, the latest materials are from the March Planning Commission meeting, but there have been updates to the draft since then.
Your time is up.
I would like to ask the city to be more open and transparent, and that means passing policies and legislation to get this material online. Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close the public comments. There is no executive session. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.